This is a replay of the Thursday night, October 24th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it's on mine. I'll try to get to all your requests, too, or at least some of them. All right, some of you guys are being pushy about this, but we'll see what we can't do. If it's on your mind, it certainly will be on mine. So, yes, Bob and I were just chatting during the news about Reese's contribution to this Christmas. Yes, the new Big Cup coming this winter. Currently, they have the Lava Cup. I don't know if you've enjoyed that or not, but the newest variety will be, in fact, the sugar cookie. And I don't know exactly how that works, but they're pushing it. So I leave the details to you on that. And we got a couple other things, though, because I was thinking in terms about, all right, so if we're already announcing the, oh God, they were thinking of stuffing potato chips into, oh geez, maybe I shouldn't read this article, totally unrelated. But in terms of what's hot and what's not, this Christmas season. And, you know, it's interesting. It's been years, I think, since there's been a runaway winner, you know, the Cabbage Patch variety, you know, or even what was it, the Beanie Baby things or whatever they were. And, you know, over the years, there have been a number of them, from hula hoops to Dunkin' Yo-Yos and you name it. But in terms of in the last decade or so, I don't know of anything that's like, you know, over the top hot. But then again, I'm not a kid. So I went to the Toy Museum because those are the people who know what they're doing. And what they're saying is for kids, nothing like an action figure from your favorite show. So in this case, we have Mr. Beast Lab Mutators. Oh, doesn't that sound festive? And so this is going to be a thrilling unboxing experience for those who will reveal the epic Mr. Beast Lab iconic panther. Comes in signature blue and pink colors and has 20 points of articulation. So that's possible. Then there is the Disney Crystal Surprise. And I'm looking at it. I have no idea. It looks a little like cat food. But I guess it's time for the little ones who love a little bit of mystery. The Disney Crystal Surprise features one Disney Crystal character, two small crystal accessories, and one crazy art compound. I guess that's what I'm looking at, the compound that resembled cat food. And so a Disney Crystal Surprise is great, they say, because it combines a collectible play with a tactile play, imaginative play, and gives a crystallized look to the characters. Then there's the Cookies, Makery, Freezy, Cakeys, Fridge. Yeah. Well, why do you need that if you like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? I mean, especially the big cups with the sugar cookies. All right, so here we have, aspiring bakers. Yeah, I don't know exactly how this works, but check your fire insurance. Cookies, Makery, Freezy, Cakeys, Fridge. The directions are simple. Mix the ingredients, shape the dough, and use the mold tool to turn it into the perfect ice cream cake. Oh, well, then maybe you don't have to worry about the fire insurance. All right. Of course, it doesn't stop there. The Freezy Cake Plush is sure to have reactions. Yeah, I don't know if that's reactions to the item or reactions from eating the item, but I don't know. I don't think I'd put reactions in a sentence about something edible. Then there's Surprise Mermaids. That's right. It's a toy and craft two-in-one. Pots can customize their doll's tail by, oh God, by mixing the two colors of gel, pouring them into the mold, and letting it set until it's ready for action. We have Chicken Dance Elmo. I know that'll be high on your list. That's right. One of the beloved Sesame characters you can celebrate in style with dancing. The Chicken Dance Elmo has plenty of tricks up its sleeve. I guess it does the chicken dance. It wiggles and giggles and whatever. Then there's the Miniverse Make It Mini Harry Potter Potion. What's in this? It's interesting because, of course, the series came to an end, but the lore goes nowhere, and every Christmas they have to have something. Well, in this case, they call it a fun-size toy, where kids can create realistic mini-creations that are replicas of actual Harry Potter films. And I have absolutely no idea how it works, but they say it's a cool unboxing and hands-on experience. Then there's For Real Peanut. And if you're not ready to give the kids a real pet, how about a super plush friendly monkey that can hang around all day and requires zero care? You don't have to walk it. And it's pretty adorable, they say. I'm looking. I don't know. I guess it's in the eye of the beholder. And it talks back. Of course it does. All right. Somebody else is probably programming the chip as I speak to be a little more entertaining. And so they say it nurtures role play and imaginative play. And it offers a realistic monkey experience. Now, I don't know how they know that because I don't think they're polling any monkeys. But we have the Monopoly Go board game. And, of course, you know, Monopoly's been around forever. And I admit, I had Monopoly when I was a kid. And I had no idea that there were metal pieces. Because when I got them, it was still, they were wood because of all the war activity and all that. So in recent years, I've said, all these metal pieces, I just don't know. But anyway, it's a new twist to a classic game in Monopoly Go. A faster-paced version of the classic game that plays more like an app than traditional Monopoly. It's a way for app players to play against friends and family. So you can have it as an app, I guess. And why not? Transformers Power Flip Optimus Prime. I'm looking at the drawing, or actually the depiction, I should say, of this, and I can't find its head, but maybe that's the deal. They say the Transformer has it all, so it's got a head somewhere. And the Optimus Prime is inspired by the latest movie, with four modes, flashing lights, and it grows in height from 8 to 10 inches. I know there's a head there somewhere. Well, they've not forgotten Transformers. This toy lets fans of the new Transformers 1 movie play out the transforming action. What could possibly go wrong? With four different modes, including one that uses the cool-looking power flip, Transformer fans will have a lot of different ways to play. Oh, then, of course, you have to have Barbie. Right. I'm looking at this particular Barbie, and I'm thinking they've finally done it. It's Trailer Trash Barbie, but it's not. It's Barbie Dream Besties. And come on, Barbie, let's go party the Barbie's Dream Besties. Let's kids explore their interests. This Barbie has dreams of owning her own makeup company and comes with 11 beauty accessories. Now, see, when I was a kid, if they were going to let me explore my own interests, she would have a soldering gun. All right, instead, she has sunglasses, a mirror, and obviously lipstick. Yes, yeah, so Barbie fans will have so much fun. All right. Then there's the Fisher-Price Rock and Record Player. And how about that? Five colorful double-dyed records to choose from. Yeah, along with a 20-song-long mixtape with options. So clearly, for a minute, I got excited about this, but for a minute, they're not not having them play actual records. So. Bluey 3-in-1 Airplane. Yes, apparently that's been a big deal where it's been seen. Fans are going to love talking to their favorite figures and taking them on a wild ride. I'll bet. And by the way, some of these things are pricey, too. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the prices at the bottom. I was, my God, all of these are over $50. Jeez Louise. The Pokemon Deluxe Holiday Calendar. Yeah, what kid doesn't want a calendar? Well, maybe adults will. So you can ring in the season with the Pokemon Deluxe Holiday Calendar. A hodgepodge of playful battle figures plus 8 accessories to celebrate 24 days of holiday fun. The Pokemon Deluxe Holiday Calendar is $79.99 at Walmart. What? Is that calendar? All right, well, there's the Hatchimals Alive Mystery Hatch. Now, see, as I said, there is obviously no one standout Beanie Baby or Cabbage Patch or anything like that in there. Not even a pet rock. And of course, in that case, the booklet was the thing that sold that. But I'm curious. And maybe if you've got kids or grandkids and you're continuing to buy for them, what's the last time there was an absolute had to have it gift? I don't know. I don't think it's any of these, but you know. The Hatchimals Alive Mystery Hatch, yes, requiring some nurture to enter the world, and kids can cuddle, tap, rock, and lift the eggs and encourage them to hatch. And once they do, they make a magical appearance. Uh-huh. And the Play-Doh Pizza Scooter. The picture shows a kid on the scooter, which, there again, in this case, check out the health insurance. They say that there's no need to hire a delivery driver anymore. Your little lady or lad will be ready to show off their new set of wheels and practice their baking skills at the same time. Well, it is a pizza delivery oven, I guess. While some delicious Play-Doh pizzas, I guess you don't eat them. You can check that out, but this toy is about $100. And I guess the kids can ride on it, assuming they're very young. The Holobright Pixie, and looks like a lantern, an $80 lantern. Well, okay. I don't even want to know what the Barbie Dreamhouse will set you back. I think that's almost two bills, actually. But yes, the dollhouse of your dreams. The Furby Galaxy. Yeah, I'm giving you a lot of choices here. And like I say, I don't think any of them cause me to say, oh man, that's the hot ticket. But maybe one of them will turn out to be the Hot Wheels Ultimate Shark Car Wash. Yes. And the Pinball Machine Maker Gumball Rally. Oh man. If you could only have a real pinball machine. But no, the Gumball Rally, they say, is a STEM gift. All right, so there's some choices. But if you know, what was the last hot ticket that every kid on the block had to have one? Because I think it's been a really long time. It's sort of like people saying, well, when will the next Beatles happen, you know? And, of course, who knows? The next Elvis was the Beatles, but it's been a long time. Arguably Taylor Swift, I don't know. But maybe she's got Christmas gifts as well. Who knows? But curious to your take. We'll get to Barry in New Hampshire. Oh, we're going to talk about his request. It was painful. All right. I will be playing another Eddie, not Hazel, but Hazel, the jazz musician. Yeah, when I pick it up from the other studio. But we'll see. Maybe Barry can. I don't think Barry can talk me into this because, you know, I recorded it. And this was one where it was so bad I didn't save it. All right, we'll talk about that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Hey, little girl, comb your hair, fix your makeup. Soon he will open the door. Don't think because there's a ring on your finger, you needn't try anymore. For wives should always be lovers too. Run to his arms the moment he comes home to you. I'm warning you. Day after day, there are girls at the office, and men will always be men. Don't send him off with your hair still in curlers. You may not see him again. For wives should always be lovers too.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Jack Jones, and sorry, not the original 45 version, I didn't realize when I hit it, but nonetheless, still a fine song on Cap from 1964 that, upsets some in the crowds. Yes, the feminazis and woke people and all that, they hate wives and lovers, but I think it's hilarious, and sadly, I played it for a reason that's unhappy. Jack Jones died. I don't know if you heard about that. Died today at Eisenhower Med in Rancho Mirage. He had had leukemia for the last couple of years, and but man, did he ever have a career! Came from a talented family. His father, you know, was in the movies, some Marx Brothers and stuff like that. But had a hit in 1938, The Donkey Serenade, and it was oh god, it's terrible. It's even got the braying. It was actually a hit when Jack Jones was born in 1938, and of course he. He stepped up into his parents' footsteps with a lot of entertainment background, to say the least. And as far as the MOR hits of the mid-60s, he was all over early and mid-60s MOR radio. And yeah, I just liked it. I know I shouldn't admit it, but I did. But then later, people will remember him, if you like, the Love Boat, starting in 1977. The first 8 years, that was Jones singing the theme. And later, Dionne Warwick took over in season 9. But that alone was good. And, you know, he had a good sense of humor. He was not above poking fun of the stuff he would record, or the, you know, the way people would react to some of it. And he was on stage, he was always just such a ladies' man. Well, I guess so. The man was married 6 times, including for about a minute and a half to Jill St. John. I think that was maybe a year, and Susan George for a while there too, romantically involved with her. But it was interesting because originally he was on Capitol, and Capitol decided he was going to be a rockabilly star. I'm not making this up. Could not hit to save his soul, so Capitol dropped him. And Cap picked him up, struck gold immediately with Lollipops and Roses, and he was in the Air Force Reserve at that time. And that was a great MOR record, and it was you know, top 15 on the adult contemporary chart, but it was a Grammy winner in 1962, Best Male Solo Vocal Performance. So that's right there where he was sort of enshrined as an MOR standard. And then he found success a year later with Call Me Irresponsible, and got another Grammy in 64 for Lives and Wives and Lovers that I played. You know, later he changed the words to Lives, Wives and Lovers to make it more of a pimp on guys instead of women. But he, to his last concert day, would sing that, and he always started it out with a disclaimer. So rest in peace, Jack Jones. Gave us a lot of fun over the years, as far as I'm concerned. We won't be playing Donkey Serenade, but maybe another Jack Jones. And calls from Barry in New Hampshire, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Now, I know a man, he's a hard-working man. He gets up real early and he goes downtown. About 15 minutes after he's been gone, there's a big milk truck pulls up on the lawn. That milkman rushes up to the door, but that man's wife's waiting in a kimono, and she plants a big old kiss on his cheek, and they go inside. And that truck never moves for an hour or two. Well, it's none of my business. One day I called him aside and told him what was going on while he was gone. He said, well, I guess that's so, but do you know we're never out of milk or cottage cheese or yogurt, ice cream, or none of them other cowy things. I guess he's making the best of a bad situation. Don't want to make waves, can't you see? He's just making the best of a bad situation. Reckon I'd do the same if it was me. Now, an old man, he's educated man, he's alligator wrestler. He jumps right in there and grabs them long green boogers by whatever you grab them long green boogers by. Well, one day he's got a full Nelson on this big alligator when this other alligator sneaks up and bites his right ear plumb off. Didn't bat an eye, just crawled off in the shade and went to sleep. The alligator, not the man, well, it's none of my business. One day I said, well, it's sure too bad about that little accident that you had, because now your hat's going to fall down over your eyes and you can't ever be a gypsy because you don't have no place to wear a gold earring. He just looked me right straight in the eye and said, huh? I guess he's making the best of a bad situation. Don't want to make waves, can't you see? He's just making the best of a bad situation. I reckon I'd do the same if it was me. Now, I know a lady, she's a mighty fine lady, got a heart of gold, she wouldn't harm a fly, she's just trying to get by and keep her house in order. But you know that her husband, he works so hard that he come unglued, he come unwrapped, he just snapped, he thinks he's a chicken. That's right, one of them cackling Colonel Sanders types, roosting in a bush by the side of the house. Well, it's none of my business. One day I said, have you ever thought about finding him a doctor that could make him well? And she said, well, I have now and then, but then again, he don't eat much, just chicken feed, and all that pecking in the ground don't hurt nothing. Heaven knows we can use the eggs.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. James Moore, Dick Feller from last night, making hopefully Fran smile. 1974 on Asylum, yeah. The cackling Colonel Sanders type. I know just how he feels. All right, Barry in New Hampshire, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, that made me laugh.
Yeah, fun. It's hilarious, isn't it? Yeah, I love Dick Feller. Never gets any recognition.
And as far as toys, there was nothing like the Sears Christmas wish book every year.
Oh, yeah.
Toys.
Yeah, where you could actually pick something out. Yes.
And I guess Sears was our Amazon back in the day.
Well, you know, and I've said this many times, there's a lot of things I don't understand about life, most of it, actually. But here's Sears, which has the world's best catalog, and obviously they were aware of the internet because they underwrote Prodigy, which was one of the first public consumer uses of computers online. Yet, this company that's willing to underwrite Prodigy, even if it did have a graphical user interface, and I hated it for that, canceled their catalog? Why on earth didn't they just put it online? They could have been Amazon. Whoever made that decision, I'll never get it. Sort of like I really don't get it when broadcast companies decide they're selling their towers. You know, there's certain things I just do not understand.
Yep.
So there you are. Yes, I loved the wish book, of course. And of course, I don't know, you might not be old enough to remember this, but it was 1974 when there was a watermark on one of the pages, on page 602. And it was unfortunate that it looked like the male model was showing his private parts below the underwear. And so, of course, this became so huge. I still have T-shirts. I want the man on page 602, you know, and there were records for it and all that. But I can't tell you how many people grabbed a hold of that catalog because of this. And like I say, it was a watermark, but it certainly looked realistic. So, I don't know what to say. I think people back long before both of us were born bought houses in that damn catalog.
Wow.
Yeah, the craftsman houses. All the stuff showed up, you know, the bricks and the wood and all that.
Right. No, and I guess it was the title with Dennis the Menace, too, I guess, later in years.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, let's face it, in terms of vehicles that might sell product, was there anything better than the Sears Wish Book?
No, like I said, we look forward to that every year.
Yeah, yeah. And how the hell they let go of that catalog. You know, I don't know who it was, but if he's still living, he should be stoned. You know, no doubt about it. Yeah, talk about a misstep.
I just wanted to about the Eddie Hazel. You play California Dreamin',
yes.
And after you get through the psychedelic part of the Eddie Hazel, that's what reminded me of Eddie Hazel, because it was one of those Warner Brothers Lost Leader albums that it was on.
Yeah, all 6 minutes and 17 seconds of it. But, you know, I got to the part where he was singing and it still was bad.
Oh, okay. But who sang the version that you played of California Dreamin'? It was a slower version.
Well, it might have been the Jacksonians, which is Marlowe's group, Marlowe from Jackson, Tennessee, who calls regularly, or it could have been Bobby Womack.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But for people who've never heard Eddie Hazel, and like I say, at first I thought we were talking about Eddie Hazel, and I thought, oh, this is good. I can't wait to hear his take on it. Then it was, oh, my God. But for people who are not familiar with it, well, I don't know what to say. Understand that in the context of better living through chemistry.
Well, I said you're going to get even the beginning of the song is the psychedelic.
Oh yeah,
Jimi Hendrix part. Yeah,
yeah. That's an entire like minute and a half of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I just remembered it from after you played that Bobby Womack song.
Yeah.
How about Popsicle Toes?
Oh, Michael Franks. Yes, and The Lady Wants to Know. Now, are you familiar with The Lady Wants to Know?
No.
Oh.
Again, that was on the Warner Brothers Lost Leaders Popsicle Toes.
That's a... Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. That's a San Diego record. But yeah, Michael Franks. And let's see if I'll give you some of The Lady Wants to Know, too, because you remember you remember Popsicle Toes. But yeah, here was the follow-up that didn't get much airplay.
Starts to cry. The lady wants to know the reason why. Daddy's just like Coltrane. Baby's just like Miles. The lady's just like Ellen when she smiles. Lady wants to know, she wants to know the reason.
Well, I gave it some airplay, but I might have been the only station in America. What can I tell you? But I liked them, and I liked Popsicle Toes also.
Yeah, I do too, so maybe put that in for a request. Maybe I can redeem myself.
Okay, I'll play it for you next.
All right.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Barry. All right, so coming up next is Popsicle Toes on WGN Radio.
Gave out rhythm, he sure was good to you. You can add, subtract, multiply, and divide by two. I know today's your birthday, and I did not buy no rose, but I wrote this song instead, and I call it Popsicle Toes. Popsicle Toes. Popsicle Toes, I always froze. Popsicle Toes, you're so brave to expose all those Popsicle Toes. You must have been Miss Pennsylvania with all this poker too. How come you always low your Pentax when I'm in the nude? We ought to have a birthday party, and you can wear your birthday clothes. We can hit the floor and go explore those.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Michael Franks, 1975 on Reprise. Popsicle Toes. Yes, there actually was a song between The Lady Wants to Know and Popsicle Toes. And when I first saw it, I said, I'm going to love this record because it's a kind of a tribute to Antonio Carlos Jobim, Antonio's song. But, you know, it just didn't do it for me. So, and that was 2 years later. And then they put out The Lady Wants to Know, and I played the heck out of that. And, of course, it did nothing. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Stacy is in Algonquin. What's up, Stacy?
Hi, Raleigh. I wanted to tell you, now, when I was growing up, my father and my favorite auntie, they worked for Sears.
Uh-huh. Well.
And we used to get the Christmas catalog. And, oh, my goodness. And my aunt, she bought me my first Barbie and all the clothes and stuff. And, oh, we had fun looking through that catalog.
I'll bet. And I still wonder, why on earth did they not just put that online?
I don't know. I was so young at the time. I don't know.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, they underwrote Prodigy, so obviously someone in the organization believed that the internet was going to be a thing. I can't understand why you'd stop your catalog.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, that was a fun catalog.
It was.
And like I say, my aunt, she got me my Barbie. She bought me all the clothes and stuff. Oh, my God.
And see, here's the thing.
That was fun.
Oh, it was. They stopped that catalog in January of 1993. They started supporting Prodigy in 1986 or early 87. We'll go with 87. But so that's 6 years that they've gone where they know the internet exists. Why on earth would you? And remember, it was always called the Big Book. They said, "Well, we're gonna focus on in-store retail." What are you out of your ever-loving mind? I'd love to know, because there should be like a hall of shame for retail executives, and whoever made that decision literally should be tarred and feathered.
I don't know. Yeah. I know. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
That was when he would bring home the catalog. Oh my God, we'd just be looking through it all the time and looking for stuff.
Oh, of course. And most of it, all of it, but most of it was reasonably affordable. It wasn't like getting the Neiman Marcus catalog where they'd have the Christmas gift that would require you to have $600,000 or something.
And then they got all the discounts, too.
Right, of course. Of course. Yeah. So, it's just absolutely crazy. And actually, it was, I don't know, about 8 or 10 years ago that Neiman Marcus quietly banned Christmas and removed it from their catalog. But it was always funny before that to see what their gift was, because no one could afford it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And so I can't imagine, but someone at Sears, and probably someone listening even as we speak, knows who made this idiot move.
I don't know. Oh, my gosh. I was so little, and oh, my God, what I didn't get. Oh, God, I had fun.
Yeah.
I thought I'd call, let you know.
Yeah.
That time was fun.
Absolutely, it was fun. You betcha. But
I wonder why they changed Sears Tower to what is it?
Well,
called?
They sold it. Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, Willis Tower. They sold it, is why.
Willis Towers. Oh, just like with Marshall Fields and stuff, they made it Carson's, and they changed everything.
Well, because the ownership changed. You see, it's all about the ownership.
Yeah.
So Sears Tower was sold. Why they changed the name. Blackstone purchased it for $1.3 billion, and that's more recent that I heard. That's actually, when I say more recent, it's probably like 2017 or so. Blackstone bought it for $1.3 billion, but there was owners before that. Sears sold it in 1994 and vacated it in 1995.
I know.
And it used to be that a lot of the FM radio stations had antennas on top of it, obviously, and a lot of them also on that top floor would do the traffic reports, because you could see everywhere from there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a special elevator ride up. I only took it once. But that's it. Once is enough.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But that's why the name changed. And who knows? I don't think Blackstone will change it to Blackstone, so maybe it'll keep being Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, Willis Tower.
Oh, God, they changed too much. Anyway, while I've got you on the phone, you and John, you have a fabulous, fabulous weekend.
Well, you too.
And stay well.
You too. All right.
And I will hopefully talk to you next week and everything.
We'll have Monday
healthy.
Night trivia. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
We want you helping.
Well, thank you.
Take care.
All right.
You too. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right. You too. So there you go.
Bye now, Robert.
All right. So, we were interrupted by the things that have to happen on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Booker T and the MGs 1969 on Stax. Yes, time is tight. And that was Fran's request. And speaking of whom, Fran, welcome to WGN Radio.
I almost got caught doing what I hate when people do, and that's singing on the phone.
Well, it doesn't have any words, so worry not.
No, it doesn't, but I was still singing it.
All right.
But Anyway, I was working for Sears when they got rid of the catalog, and oh my God, what an uproar. People were calling, people were crying on the phone. I mean, it was just, you know,
now,
I'm answering the phones. Like, I don't have anything to do with this. This was nothing.
During the news, I finally decided I was going to see what the story was, and I know, okay? The Hall of Shame goes to one, Arthur C. Martinez. And actually, he is a heck of a retailer. He's, you know, got like a master's from Harvard and all that kind of stuff. And in fact, the Sears merchandise group between 92 and 95, when he was president, really did well. However, in January of 93, he decided that's it for the catalog. And his rationale, and this is why I say Hall of Shame, was that there are so many Searses. They're just ubiquitous on the street. Everyone lives near a Sears. And why should we continue to support the catalog, which is 50,000 employees and all that, and declining sales, when in fact we can just boost the retail operation? So he made the executive decision that he was going to pour the money into retail. Biggest mistake in merchandising history.
Not only that, right around that time, they got rid of all of their, or a lot of their managers that had been there for a long time, and promoted, you know, all these young kids that, I mean, they didn't know anything about some of the products, and they, you know, they didn't have the knowledge these older people did, and they also cut the staff, the service staff by half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So half of the time I was getting calls telling me, there's no one to help me in you know, this or that department.
And, you know, that's an interesting comment because, of course, there's two ways to make the bottom line look better. One is, of course, to sell more stuff. The other is to cut more overhead. So by firing the employees, he looks golden.
Yeah. But it was just, you know, I mean, he fired a lot. I was getting calls all the time that there weren't enough people in this or that department. And our thefts, I was friends with a guy in security, and he said the thievery had gone way up because there's nobody watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just bad all the way around. But,
Well, I'll tell you, you know, they laud him in all the business journals as, you know, being this great retailer and all that. And later he took over Abercrombie and Fitch and some other things. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't care about anything else. Deciding that you were closing that catalog is the single worst thing anyone has done in business history, as far as I'm concerned, in the 20th century.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, because you're right. They could have Amazon.
Absolutely. You know? And I recognize that, of course, you didn't know exactly where the internet was going to go. No doubt about that. And I'm not suggesting that they should have done a new undertaking. But the fact that they were aware enough about the internet to fund Prodigy would tell me that since they had a catalog, rather than fold it, they'd put it online and see what happened.
Yeah. Anyway, I really enjoyed those two songs. I like him. I had that 45, the Making the Best of a Bad Situation. I played the heck out of that thing when I had it.
Yeah, I just love that. Yeah, I have
one of those cackling Colonel Sanders tapes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we could use the eggs.
Or none of them other cowie things.
Right, right. No, I just thought he was great, and Larry Butler produced all that stuff, and I remember it so well. And now today you say Dick Feller, and people say, who?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't remember his name until you mentioned it before. And I had the 45, too. Shame on me.
Right.
But I couldn't remember the name. But anyway, I also wanted to tell you, because you were talking about toys and good old Barbie, and they now have a blind Barbie.
Really?
Yes, complete with a white cane and sunglasses. And
that's really neat. But what most important is, how tactile is she?
I don't know. I don't. It's not the kind of thing. Although some of my friends have gone out and bought them, and they think they're really cool.
Well, I think if it's tactile, then that's terrific. But if it's just one of those things that if you can see, you'll like her white cane and her get up and all this stuff, or glasses, but needs to be very tactile. I'm going to look at that. By the way, I just looked up Dick Feller because I thought, I know he's still alive. What happened to him? Do you have any idea?
No.
Oh, my God. He is now a she.
Really?
Yes, yes. She's now Deanna K. Rose.
I could make a pun about that, but I think
No. Exactly. And, he was born Richard Dean Feller in Missouri and, started doing very well musically, of course, and, singing and all that kind of stuff.
I guess I could say Feller's not a fella anymore. I can get away with that.
That's true, you can. She toured with toured with Mel Tillis and do all that. And then, of course, they got into the studio with Larry Butler, and it was just terrific. But meanwhile, I'm going to try to find out, when did she make the transition? Because I had no idea. Together with Don Schlitz, they composed the music for Smokey and the Bandit 3, and they toured with Louis Brizard and all that stuff. Wrote songs with Sheb Woolley, Sheb Woolley, who hated rock and roll. And Del Reeves, and did a lot of commercials. Well, apparently in 2004, Dick, or I guess Deanna at that point, published an autobiography, Some Days Are Diamonds, in which she came out publicly as a trans woman, had adopted the name Deanna K. Rose. And her book was rejected by the Nashville Library System in 2019. I don't know.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I agree. I agree. And so now I want
to. I'd like to read it.
Yeah, I'm gonna look to see whether I can find it, and if I can, I'll order it, and we'll go. But this is one of those things that just stopped me cold. So Well, you just never know. So
I also really like Michael Franks and. One of the things I used to think it was called Don't Touch That Phone, and then I found out it was called When Sly Calls.
Uh-huh.
Sometime if you could play that. I you played a lot of my requests this week. So
I will. When Sly Calls. Now, let me see this. The paperback's $28. I don't know if I'm that rich, but... it's a lot of money. But maybe... I'll read the reviews anyway. If it's worth $27.44 plus tax, I will order it.
What is it titled? What's the title?
Some Days Are Diamonds, like the song.
Oh, okay, I can remember that. Yeah. I like that song.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh man, there's a story here, and I want to hear it. So maybe it is worth that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I will. I will check it out, but yeah, that's the big news of the night.
But I'm curious about how that blind Barbie looks and all that.
Well, I'm curious how she feels.
Yeah, I am too, because she's supposed to have outfits. Now, I hope that the outfits are tactile, not just
Yeah, yeah.
The same looking, you know. But
right, exactly.
Not have that different not, materials.
Not
or,
that it's just some ploy because, you know, they had the wheelchair Barbie and all that. And so here it is. Mattel introduces its first blind Barbie. Okay. Along with new Barbie with Down syndrome. Oh, just swell.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right. So that's part of its fashionista line. They work closely with the AFB to ensure the blind Barbie accurately depicted individuals with blindness or low vision. That's fine. But, yeah, they say they make sure the doll was still accessible. But I want to know, is there anybody who has gotten this doll and could check it out? The doll's fashions, they say, are tactile with a satiny pink blouse and a textured ruffle skirt with a brightly colored hook and loop fastener. Well, no one's going to see that for closure on the back of the doll's top. The new doll even has accessible packaging with Barbie in Braille. Now, of course.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool. But how many blind kids of Barbie age are going to be able to read Braille these days? But anyhow,
especially nowadays.
That's what I mean. It's just criminal. I wish they all did, but as you well know, it's a lower and lower number by the minute. Accessories include the white and red cane with an identifiable marshmallow tip, and include stylish and functional sunglasses. The doll also reflects the sometimes distinct eye gaze of a blind individual, facing slightly up and out. Uh-huh. All right. So, apparently the AFB, you know, puts their stamp of approval on it, so it must not be awful, frankly. It must be okay.
So now we get to feel bad about our body image, too. Well,
yeah,
but special.
I tell you what. Yeah, well, that's right. Do they have plump Barbie? You know, because there are...
Yeah, that's what I want, the Rubenesque Barbie.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
They should. I mean, you know, we're all not Barbie-shaped.
Yeah.
And I know when I had Barbies, when I got older, I thought, you know, those breasts, you could put somebody's eye out with those things. They're like, pointed.
Oh, I know. Absolutely, they were. And, of course, you know, the waist would be the equivalent, what, of about 12 inches in a human? I mean, it was just...
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of, I just had to have, of course, you know, I was a little girl, and I just had to have Barbies because all the little girls were having Barbies. I think I played with them maybe 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
And then, you know, the main dolls that I liked, I wanted dolls that did something.
Like sounds good.
Chatty Cathy.
Oh, Chatty Cathy, yeah, pull the string. Yeah.
Yeah, I have Chatty Cathy and Susie Smart.
Right.
And I had one that I've never seen since. It was a Beatnik doll.
Oh, wow.
And it would sing, you know, shoo-dee-bee-bee-dee-boo-ba, you know, it would scat, you know.
Oh, jeez.
And it would say, dig that crazy beat.
Wow. Well, apparently it says there are Rubenesque curvy black Barbies with braided hair or realistic textured afros. Well, all right. Well,
see, so where are the Rubenesque white Barbies?
Yeah, because I think that's a slam against black people myself that you'd only have that.
So do I. Not all black women are.
Of course heavy. Not. Of course not.
Any more than all white women.
Exactly.
Are heavy.
Exactly. So do they have Rubenesque Caucasian Barbies? Probably not.
Probably not.
Well, I still don't know why they can't have Trailer Trash Barbie then with all this. I just don't know.
That would be good.
You know, I've been saying this for years now, and I don't understand why they reject it. I mean, they have everything else.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, with the complete with the super big hair and yeah.
Yeah, I just think they need to do that. And so now I didn't come up with that, but I found Remembering Rudy. Who the hell is Ruby? No, Ruby. In 1997, the socially conscious international cosmetic franchise and host Universal created Ruby, a chubby-cheeked, chestnut-haired, computer-generated fat doll. Obviously, this
okay.
Didn't... Yeah, I'm seeing a picture of this, and I'm sorry that I can. But, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like that. Well, Barbie doll culture in the American wasteland. Yeah, it probably would be accurate, actually. So I'll look for other Rubenesque Barbies here and see what we can find.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling.
Sure, thanks, Raleigh.
Okay, bye. Now I got to find out about Dick Feller. I had no idea. All right, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh on WGN Radio.
those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it, what good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft.
WGN Radio, I'm Holly James. 1957 Capitol, Frank Sinatra, and that is for Johnny B, who requests that. And your requests and calls are coming up next on WGN Radio. James, big adult contemporary record in 1978, the OJs, Used to Be My Girl, and that was on Philadelphia International, and that was Johnny D who requested that. And we're about to meet Ron, a first-time caller from Naperville, but before we do, I want to make sure that you don't think I'm casting aspersion about Dick Feller in any way. I am shocked. And, of course, you know, somebody you knew, and I didn't know him well, but knew, one of the Nashville denizens I knew, I wouldn't have expected to read that that he's now Dina Rose. But what was interesting to me is that he made the transition at age 70. You know, it takes a lot of guts. And it reminded me of a story, and this is absolutely the truth, of a country radio consultant I knew. And he was great. He programmed a station in Seattle. I remember last time I saw him, we had lunch by the waterfront in Seattle, and I had no idea that his name was Jay Albright, is Jay Albright, but now with an E, that he had his own set of demons about his identity inside. But he was just a lovely person. So years later, I hear, probably within a decade, that he had transitioned, and he became J-A-Y-E Albright. Well, you know, this was a something that was really tough a decision to make, because you're talking now, you know, like the late 80s, early 90s, and you're talking about his whole career was country music. So how do you get accepted? So here comes the annual country music convention. Actually, it was the thing that started in 1970. It was, I can't think of the name of the organization, but it was in response to the Country Music Association and the Disc Jockey Convention. And it was a great country radio seminar. There you go. Started in 1970. So here comes the country radio seminar, the year that Jay had transitioned. And believe me, everybody was talking about him. I mean, no one had seen him, and everybody, and he was going to be on a panel. And so it was like, you know that this room was just packed. Now, Jay was not a bad-looking guy, but he was an average-looking guy. You wouldn't expect that he would have transitioned into an absolute drop-dead beauty, and that's okay. Except that here the panel is being introduced, and the first couple members, and then they introduce Jay, and out walks this drop-dead model. I mean, just the perfect proportions and the best look and the high heels and the whole. I mean, this was, you know, something that would have been right out of Playboy Playmates. And, of course, the audience absolutely gasped. And she stood there for a minute, and then Jay, as her new entity, Jay Albright, walked out and said, "What, you think if I looked like that, I'd be here with people like you?" And so that just brought the house down. And it was a great way for him to present, or her to present herself. And, you know, I'm so pleased to say that she didn't miss a beat. She, as far as I know, she never lost a client. And even at this late date, and it is late date at this point for her and most of us, she still has clients. So I sort of thought about Dick Feller in the same way, thinking, my God, transitioned at 70. Wow. Yeah, I think the Nashville Library should carry that book, and I don't think it matters how well written it is or not, and I realize why it's so pricey. Apparently, it's an on-demand Amazon book, so I will plunk my $28 down and buy it, and I'll let you know. Ron, a first-time caller in Naperville, welcome to WGN Radio. Ron, did we lose Ron? Oh, I think we did. Well, Ron had to sit through the news. And that thing about first-time callers is they are not patient. All right, so Ron, if you're listening, call me back. We'll get to you quickly, I promise. All right, Leah in Marcus Hook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. I just hope that guy's sex change operation wasn't paid for by taxpayer money.
I assure you it wasn't. Believe me, there will be no benefits for Dick Feller. He wrote a number of things that became number one songs, whether it was for Johnny Cash. He did a number of commercials. I mean, you name it. He was flush, is flush. So, no.
Okay, good.
No, he didn't need to ask for taxpayer-funded help.
Okay, good. I wanted to tell you there is a Chubby Barbie.
It came out about
20 years ago, I think.
What is it? What, do you know her name?
I think it's just called the Chubby Barbie.
Tubby Barbie?
No, Chubby.
Chubby.
C-H.
Chubby Barbie. Let's see. All right. Well, let's see what we... what is the name of the Chubby Barbie? She is Curvy Barbie. Curvy Barbie.
There you go.
So there is Curvy Barbie. Well.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, she came out about 20 years ago, I think.
I guess she's still out.
15, maybe. Yeah, she's still out.
Wonder if it costs more because it takes more plastic.
I don't...
don't have any idea. All right,
yes,
so
that shouldn't be.
So that, but the interesting question, and I think the BBC asked it, is... Well, we know that the original Barbie certainly didn't correspond to any woman's figure on the planet. So I wonder how the Curvy Barbie, if she were a real woman... All right, and Mattel says they don't have a scale that would give full-size dimensions, but there's a play scale, a ratio of 1 to 6 that governs many toys. So if you accept that, like the first ever Barbie, Curvy Barbie is 11 inches tall, multiplied by 6, and so she'd be 5'6". All right, and
that's tall.
Yeah, right, slightly taller than the average woman. And real life Barbie has often been credited as being 5'9". But now let's see. So what would her waist be? Well, I don't know. Got to look at this because
she's not that big. She's not that big. She's just chubby.
Right. Well, it says Curvy Barbie has a size 6 waist and a size 8 hips. So she ain't big at all.
So she's not big at all.
No. Size 6 waist and size 8 hips. I think there were people who would be saying, that's to die for, darling. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so now those are UK sizes. I don't know, because this is the BBC. I don't know how that corresponds to US prices.
Okay. That might not be the same in America. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see if we can convert.
Yeah, because 6 and 8 in America.
Well,
is small.
What they did was they compared Curvy Barbie to the average British woman between the ages of 16 and 24. So Curvy Barbie is 5'6". The average British woman is 5'5". Curvy Barbie's waist is a size 6. The average woman's waist in Great Britain is a size 14. Curvy Barbie's hips are size 8, and the average woman is a size 14. Well, so there you have it. I don't know.
Okay, so they made it smaller?
Well, smaller than the average woman.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, but then again, well, Barbie, of course, is ridiculously small comparatively, so I don't know.
Yeah, but if you're going to make a curvy Barbie, shouldn't you make it bigger?
Yes, but they didn't. Oh, John, oh God, John says, John adds to the mix. You know, here I am worried about the British measurements, and John says, remember, they're made in China. All right, oh God. So, if the original Barbie were a real woman, she would have a size 2 waist. No, 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 she'd have a size 0 waist. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and with that chest, how could she stand upright? I mean, come on. All right, so let's see what size 6 British is for U.S. sizes. I'm sure there's a chart, but British for U.S. sizes. All right, and so here we have. Let's see. A U.S. size 4 is approximately a U.K. size 8. Oh, my God, it's worse.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I guess curvy Barbie isn't too big.
No, I guess not. I've seen her, and she looks chubby compared to regular Barbie.
Well, yes, but regular Barbie doesn't look anatomically correct. No one can have that waist.
No,
where would their organs go? I mean, get real. So.
I told Albert that joke that you told me last night,
and
he died laughing. He thought it was so funny.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. So, and I can just see it happening. So, anyway. Yeah, so that's the deal. All right, well, their heart's in the right place, but maybe they didn't want to use too much more plastic. I don't know.
Maybe they just didn't think it through, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right. Exactly. Well, rather than call it chubby Barbie, maybe they just need to come out with plus size Barbie and use plus sizes for their models.
Yeah. What the hell?
I don't know.
Come on. I'm gonna email.
All right. Well, I'll leave you on the case. Let us know what you find.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
So Leah's on the case. She'll call Mattel in the morning. 888-876-5593. We'll get Laurel in Elmwood Park. Eduardo is in Tampa. Sherry is in Naperville. Bob is in Chicago. And there's room for you on WGN Radio. And Bob and I were talking about this, and by now he should be used to me. I always have it in front of me. It's sitting right here in front of the pictures of Barbie, and you'd think that I could look down and read it. Oh, I tell you what. Well, I will, with feeling. And now, it's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and lanthanum, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, and protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium. There's yttrium, ytterbium, actinium, rubidium, and boron, gadolinium, niobium, iridium, and strontium, and silicon, and silver, and samarium, and bismuth, bromine, lithium, beryllium, and barium. There's holmium and helium and hafnium and erbium and phosphorus and francium and fluorine and terbium and manganese and mercury, molybdenum, magnesium, dysprosium and scandium and cerium and cesium and lead, praseodymium and platinum, plutonium, palladium, promethium, potassium, polonium and tantalum, technetium, titanium, tellurium and cadmium and calcium and chromium and curium. There's sulfur, californium, and fermium, berkelium, and also mendelevium, einsteinium, nobelium, and argon, krypton, neon, radon, xenon, zinc, and rhodium, and chlorine, carbon, cobalt, copper, tungsten, tin, and sodium. These are the only ones of which the news has come to Harvard. And there may be many others, but they haven't been discovered.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and it was Pete in Sauk Village who suggested we play that for Johnny D and his grandson, who memorized the periodic table. And I think that was 102 of them. I don't think they had Lawrencium, 103. But other than that, it was absolutely complete. So now Johnny D can get that for his grandson, and not only knowing the elements, he can sing them. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh and Laurel is in Elmwood Park. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Kudos to you and Jan and all your callers for keeping me company most nights. I just love your show. I could have used that periodic table song back when I was taking chemistry in high school. I have a fond memory of Michael Franks. I love when you play his songs. And back in 1993, he did a concert out at Poplar Creek, and he was opened by Bobby Caldwell and Strums and Farrar. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know Bobby Caldwell that well, and I fell in love with him there.
Yeah.
I had all of Michael Franks' albums. And after the concert, he was selling his CDs, Michael Franks, and he was at the table, and I bought his Dragonfly Summer album, and he signed it. And then there was a couple standing there, and they asked if me and my boyfriend would like to take a picture with Michael Franks. So he got up from around, walked around the table, Michael Franks did, and he stood with me and my boyfriend, and this couple took our photo. And back then there was no cell phones, photos. It was a real camera. And so they took down our address, and I just kind of forgot about it. And then like a week later in the mail, I got a picture of me and my boyfriend standing there with Michael Franks, and I was just over the moon because I just love, love, love Michael Franks. So tonight when I heard you play him, I just had to call and talk about that.
Well, great. I'm so glad that you did, and so glad that you're listening. I'm honored to be keeping you company.
Yes, I love you all.
All right. Call me again soon. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
Okay, thanks.
Have a great night.
You
oh,
too.
Wait, and can I ask you to play your favorite Bobby Caldwell song in honor of Bobby Caldwell?
Absolutely. I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, but I will put it on the list for next week.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
right.
it.
My apology.
Okay.
Okay,
bye.
Yes, my apologies to Bob, actually, because I blew the break again. So if you're listening on WGN, you're not listening to me. But if you're listening to the stream, we'll be back after the news right here. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is the Fireballs, Jimmy Gilmer and Atco, 1967. He didn't write it. In fact, it was Tom Paxton who wrote it and recorded it first on one of his albums in 1965. But the hit, of course, the Fireballs. And that was a request from Jack in St. Charles. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, thank you for taking my call. Let me put out a request since this is a popular guy that we're talking about, Down in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
Maybe next week. Yeah.
Okay, so what song?
Oh, Down in Brazil by Michael Franks.
Oh, okay. Down in Brazil. Okay. All
yeah.
right, Michael Franks. You betcha. I don't know if I've heard it. Like I say, I did not like his version of, well, not version, it was his own song, Antonio. So I'll check this one out.
Yeah. I mean, Lady Wants to Know, Secret, Stay With Me. I mean, those are a couple of songs I like.
Yeah.
A couple of favorites. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll
but yeah, Down
this.
In Brazil, he did.
I'll look
yeah.
forward to hearing it.
See what you
it.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Well, hey, I was doing this week and next week I'll be doing at the county building, Fred B. Carl County Center, helping out with election judging. quite a bit of experience.
Well, let me ask you, because of course I guess this is early voting, because the actual election we're a couple of weeks away. So what does early voting need a judge for?
Well, I mean, that's anybody that can, in Hillsborough County, they can go in there and vote.
Right.
I mean, mostly the libraries are there to vote, but right there for people that work there in downtown or live there.
But if you, I understand that. It's like we went and voted last week. And when we went, of course, we're in the middle of nowhere, truly. So nobody else was there. And we walked in. And I'm very pleased that even though they knew who we were, they asked to see the IDs and the voter registration cards. And so we gave them both. And then they said, okay, here's a couple of ballots. And, you know, you can sit anywhere you want. And we sat down and filled them out and put them in the little box. And that was the end of it. But there was no election judge or anything. So what do you do?
Well, we have a couple people manning where they drop off the mail-in ballots. There's a couple people that are stationed at the boxes where you slide the ballot. Now, the person voting has to do that. You can't do that, but they do.
Right. No, I know, but I mean, you'd figure that, you know, you give them the ballot, they fill it out, they put it in the slot, and they go home. So I didn't realize it needed help.
Yeah, I mean, there's at least 10 people. Including me. Yeah, so I mean, there's different positions. There's a clerk, assistant clerk. They are in charge of the keys. And then there's somebody that comes down with a couple bags, and they put the ballots in there, and they take them to, I believe it's over there in Seminole Heights, because the name of the street is Falkenberg.
Okay.
That's the main central station over there.
Okay.
And that's where they drop them off. That's where everything comes in from the county area.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So they have people to monitor it all, so you know exactly what's going on. So are a lot of people early voting in Tampa?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of people. I mean, there's a million registered or something like that, but I mean, we had like 500 to 1,000 so far this week.
Wow.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
All right. So good deal. So you've been spending time downtown.
Yeah. And I voted there on Tuesday.
Okay.
Because they have two teams. So it's the days are long. They're 12-hour days, 7 to 7.
Okay.
And they got them in two teams. I'm in team B. So I go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. It's every other day.
And are the ballots the deal like most places in the middle of nowhere like us, where you just fill it out by hand? There's no, like, machine or anything?
No, you they give you the paper ballots, and then you go to one of the booths, you fill in the circle.
Okay, yeah, by hand, and then you seal the envelope.
Slide it into the machine.
All right.
Yeah, not the judge. You the voter, slide it in into the machine, and then at the end we open up the boxes.
Okay.
And stack them up, you know, neatly, and they go into the bag so they can be taken over there to Central Command.
And where is Central Command?
Somewhere, I think it's over there in Seminole Heights. I know the name of the street is Falkenberg.
Okay.
I know that, so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And this is for Hillsborough County.
Right, absolutely. All right. Well, that's...
I thought it was... because I think the last time I did it was... in 2000, and it was inside of a, check this out, it was inside of a eye center. People are actually going in there to check their eyes, and we're there on the side checking people into both. Something.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was the last time I did that.
All right. Well, good. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was good, yes.
Yeah.
It's a new experience, especially since you're in a new city, yeah.
Sure.
I thought I'd give it a try.
Sure.
Yeah.
So demographically, was it a crowd you would have expected?
Yeah, we're getting young and old.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm glad they're to sit handicapped there. I mean, we had a couple of those, so I'm glad that we're able to accommodate, you know, people under those circumstances. So, so far so good. No arguments, no fighting. It's gone smoothly.
Yeah, it's been an interesting October because all the psychics and stuff were talking about what havoc was going to break out in the October surprise. And I realize we still have a week to go, but even so, it seems like it's proceeding comfortably just about everywhere.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything in the news about anybody having any issues. So let's hope it keeps that way.
Absolutely, we do. So are you going to do this up until Election Day?
Yeah, so it's every other day. There's two teams, and then the general election, I'll be at a different location. I won't be at the county building, but I'll be somewhere in Seminole Heights.
Oh, all right. Did they tell you where?
Yeah.
Did they tell you where you're going yet?
Or yeah, yeah. It's I know the street's on Central Street, and it's going to be closer to my house.
Okay.
So, because they give you these little plaques you hang on the window. You know, the permits. So that way you can park
over there. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, I can't wait to hear about Election Day. We won't be on Election Night because, of course, it'll be the election results. But we will be on the next night, and I'll look forward to the report.
Yep. Okay,
right.
Raleigh. Thank you very much.
All right.
Everybody have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, speaking of voting, the voting of the world's worst hit records normally starts on Halloween, because, you know, it's a night of horror, and these records are. But on Halloween, we're going to be preempted because the Blackhawks are playing somewhere during the time that I would normally be talking to you. So I won't be. So with that in mind, the voting will start on Wednesday next week, and it will be a full show on Wednesday. And you know the rules. Can't vote before it, but you can vote every day until the day before Thanksgiving, because on Thanksgiving night, That's the playback, because it's a night of turkeys, the top 10 of the world's worst hit records by you. And the only rule is that the record had to be a hit. It can't be something that was only heard twice in Vermont. It's got to be a national hit. And don't have to be a big, big hit, but a hit. And I don't care what genre, I don't care what decade, just as long as it's been a hit in the good old United States of America, it will qualify. And, of course, as long as you can't stand it, because that's the purpose of the world's worst hit records. The records that don't make you say, oh, wow, they make you say, oh, no. All right, so 888-876-5593. Laura in Willowbrook, what's up? Laura, what's going on?
Hey, Raleigh. Well, you earlier were talking about the Sears Wish catalog, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but I really don't remember that, but it reminded me of the S&H Green Sam's things. Now, can you kind of fill me in on how that worked? I don't remember if there was a store that you bought stuff and then you got stamps, or how did you get these stamps? But I remember using them. I thought this was a blast.
No, it was a promo. It was mostly grocery stores that would give them away depending on how much money you spent. And then you would fill up, you'd get these books, and you'd put the stamps in the book. And then each book was actually, if you wanted to put a price on it, worth about $3 back then. And then you would go to the redemption center, and you could pick out what you wanted, and it would tell you how many books of green stamps you needed. And there weren't only green. There were plaid stamps. There were other stamps as well. And it wasn't only S&H. But the idea of S&H, that's Sperry and Hutchinson, by the way. That's what the S and the H stand for. And that started actually like in the 1890s, but it was really big starting in the Depression. And in fact, through the 60s. In 1964, that catalog, the S&H catalog, was the largest single publication distributed in America. So, so it was big. And again, they were trading stamps, and there were others, like I say, the other kinds as well, gold bond stamps, and you know, I mean, there were a bunch of them. And the retailer would you know, be into the program as a means of building customer loyalty. And so it was the retailer purchasing the stamps from the trading company at cost, and it was based upon a small percentage of sales. Anyway, that's how the formula worked. And, you know, most people know about Sperry and Hutchinson, but you know, not only by any means, but it was a typical, you know, perk and affinity program or whatever. In South Florida, they had Merchants Green Stamps as well as S&H because Food Fair was the competitor to Publix, and Publix would be S&H, and Food Fair would be Merchants. And then, of course, Quick Check, which later became Winn-Dixie, was plaid stamps.
Yeah.
And, you know, on and on it went. So it was just a perk. And
okay.
Yeah, I don't know what else.
Was it based on like how much you spent?
Yes.
And you got more
stamps? Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. No, it was 100% based on what you spent.
Okay.
You know, 100% based upon that. So the stamps were actually printed in Oklahoma, of all things, for S&H, as far as that goes. But it wouldn't have mattered. And, you know, the competitors. It's funny because one of my favorite obscure oldies is Nationwide Stamps. So I'll have to play that for you. The idea of the green stamp, like I say, started late 1800s, but really the Depression ushered it in because, of course, you needed to, needed to save money, and this would let you buy it. Now, years ago on radio, early talk radio, they would have shows like Tradio where, you know, listeners would call in and say, I have this to sell or whatever. And in some markets, the radio station wouldn't allow you to say how much money you wanted for anything. And so I remember so well, it became the euphemism because everybody knew that a green stamp book was worth $3. So it's, I'm selling it for 7 books of green stamps, you know, and then didn't know that they were selling it for 21 bucks. And so it was... It was just a perk, and gas stations also would give them out.
Oh, really?
Okay. Some, yeah, exactly. But it was any merchant who wanted to be part of the program could do that. And and part of it, of course, became dominated by the chain grocers. Of course, had a lot more clout than. But there were blue chip stamps. Got to remember that in California, blue chip stamps, and there were so many. Sometime I'll have to put a list of that together. But I know blue chip stamps. They had redemption centers in places like Westchester or Torrance or Long Beach, and they were promising there will be 50 blue chip stamp redemption centers in Los Angeles by the end of the year. I don't know what year. We're still waiting. In any event, that was the deal. So yeah, I'll have to make a list of all the different stamps because they were kind of interesting. And every now and then, probably not anymore, but until fairly recently, because I've moved so many times, I'll unpack something and there's a book of green stamps.
Oh no! I remember going on the last day they were closing and just all the times you go, it's like, oh, I got enough to redeem and go get whatever it was. And it was just such fun. Why did they close? It was such a good thing. Why did they stop it?
Well, the interest in it started to wane. And in most cases, it was one stamp per every dime you spent. And as far as that goes. But by the 60s, it started to wane. Why? I'm sure there's a good reason, but one of it is that, you know, in the 70s there were recessionary periods, and you had two things happening. One was that the redemption centers were fewer and fewer because they didn't want to pay the rent for the redemption centers. But the other is also that the grocers didn't want to, which it was primarily grocers, didn't want to pay the premium to be involved in the program. And I think S&H lasted until just a couple years ago, believe it or not. I think that S&H stamps were valid until 2020 or something crazy, but you had to find a place to redeem them, and that was wasn't easy. But S&H would make their money because they'd sell the stamps to the retailers, you know. And so why did they stop when the retailers stopped buying them? Well,
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing this is probably under the same idea then. Used to be years ago, you'd go to like a gas station and it's like, oh, if you buy so many gallons of gas, we'll give you a free Chicago Bears glass.
Right,
like,
absolutely.
They give you these perks, but now they don't do that anymore.
Right.
So it's like I'm...
Right.
Like,
You betcha.
The rewards now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I used to get the glasses from the gas station. And the other thing is, used to be there was laundry detergent that would have a dish in them. And so I would collect the dishes from the laundry detergent. Mm-hmm. You know, this is 50s. And, of course, you know, before that, Depression wear was real big. And so I had a friend who was very big into collecting Depression wear. But anyhow, there were all sorts of perks. But, you know, you saw that even in the 70s, like Burger Chef in Indiana was a chain there. They would give away glasses. So a little Burger Chef and Jeff glasses. You know, there's always some kind of perk.
Okay.
So, loyalty programs.
I'm glad for all the information, Narali. It's like, you always have some fun stuff to talk about, and
Yeah. Well, think
very,
about it.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, think about it this way. Today, rather than all those perks, remember, all the credit cards are having cash back. For every dollar you spend, we give you a penny or whatever. So they're still around,
right,
just in different ways. All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh. Bye for
all
now.
All right. Yes, and I think we blew that break nicely, too. So we'll pick it up after the news if you're listening on the stream. And if you're listening on the air, you're not hearing a thing I am saying.
I'm saving all my nationwide stamps to get a present for you. I'm saving all my nationwide stamps to show my love is true. I'm hoping you'll be happy to get a present for me. I'm saving all my nationwide stamps so you will jump with glee. I'll get you something pretty that you can always keep, and when you look at it each day, you know my love is deep. I'm saving all my nationwide stamps to get a present for you, and when you see my present, I know you'll love me too. You can always keep, and when you look at it each day, you know my love is deep. I'm saving all my nationwide stamps to get a present for you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Ben White and the Darches. They're from Asbury Park, and that was on the Al John label, which is actually Al Brown's label, and it was Al Brown's band backing them, if you will. And, Nationwide Stamps, 1962 on Al John. And Al John, so there you have an example. So during the news, I was trying to think of who could I think of who were, you know, stamp providers. Top Value, Plaid, Blue Chip, which I mentioned, Gold Bond. Let's see, Quality Stamps, they were gray and dark red, Gold Strike, then HEB in San Antonio gave Texas Gold Stamps, and then Merchants Green, as I mentioned, and S&H Green. I'm sure there's a lot more, a lot of them regional, but other than Merchants and S&H, I couldn't find any others that branded themselves as green stamps, but it was interesting to see what chains gave, what stamps, but memories. Okay, so 888-876-5593, put that in the useless information category. And with that in mind, Sherry in Naperville, welcome back to WGN Radio. Sherry, are you still with me? No, Sherry gave up, and it was the right thing to do. She'd been on hold a long time. Apologies to Sherry. All right, Bob in Chicago, welcome back to WGN. No, I guess I lost Bob, too. It's my own fault. I'm just too long-winded, I'll tell you what. So Cindy in Chicago has some requests. All right, Cindy.
Okay, well, I would have called earlier, but I spent...
No excuses needed.
I spent the time on the phone with the Cancer Society.
All right.
Cooking and cleaning. Okay. But anyhow, she's recovering. But then anyhow, I have a song, Thinking About the Things We Used to Do, Nancy Sinatra and Dean Martin. It was pretty nice.
All right. I don't know if I have this on this computer or not, but I'll look for it.
And then I ate the pancakes and waffles from Walmart, but when I ate the they said it was waffles.
Oh, I thought this was going to be a song title. I thought, man, there's a song title, I ate the pancakes. All right, so go on.
Yeah, the food recall.
Uh-huh. Well, you're all right. I can tell you're sounding just fine. So worry not.
The pancakes real good.
Uh-huh.
But I guess there's a lot. There's the McDonald's food recall, the waffles, the pancakes, and then something with prepared meats in the school system. I'm just, you know, I'm going back to Amish chicken. It got real expensive a couple of years ago.
My
cousin that lives with me won't eat turkey or chicken too much because of Listeria so bad. But I cook it very thoroughly with the meat timer.
All right. So your song, Nancy Sinatra and Dean Martin, is actually on a Nancy Sinatra and Friends album. And they're just doing Bobby Darin's Things. But Bobby Darin did it originally. Wouldn't you rather hear that?
Well, I like Dean Martin. Dean Martin was my favorite. Mm. I loved Dean Martin.
Well, I'll have to look for that because it's not a favorite album, but I've got it somewhere.
Okay, well, play, what was it? But play Bobby Darin. That would be fine if you could. You wouldn't have to look for it then.
He wrote it. Bobby Darin wrote it and recorded it. So, yeah. But the only thing that makes me smile on that album in any real way is, how does that grab you, darling? I always laugh at that. All right.
I really don't. I mean, Nancy Sinatra's not my favorite. I mean, she's not.
All right. Well, we'll play
Bobby Darin. And everyone pray for my cousin. I guess they found, it went to her lymph, one of her, they took it out, one of her lymph nodes, right. I guess.
Well, that's far from a death sentence. Hopefully she'll make a full recovery. Yes, really. Really. If it's just in one of her lymph nodes, no. That's no time to be buying a casket. Trust me. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. I'm trying.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it will work out. Just keep a good thought and don't think too much.
Yeah, I bought her daughter a Michael Kors. Her daughter's really petite.
Okay.
She wears everything black. But I bought her a Michael Kors purse that was kind of smaller because she's petite. And I bought her this at TJ Maxx. And then anyhow, I bought her a vest for fall, winter, where you wear a long sleeve top and then the vest. Mm. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't ghetto looking or anything like that. Real nice looking.
All right, so, then. Good deal.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bobby Darin next week.
Welcome.
All right. So since we've only got one bumper left for this week, next week is interesting to some degree because Monday night is an abbreviated show. That's right. It'll be Monday Night Trivia, but I think we only have an hour and a half of it. Now, let me before I get to Chris in Greenwood and then James on the South Side, look up the facts of life about this. WGN Radio, you know, has all the information. So that's where to go. And you look under weekday and then you click on upcoming guests and sports because that tells you what the upcoming schedule is. And this will tell me that, let's see where we are here, Monday, I'm on at 11:30, like I say, so an hour and a half, because the Blackhawks are in Hawaii. Tuesday, it will be a full show, we think. It looks like that. Wednesday, likewise. But then Thursday, there is no show because the Chicago Blackhawks are at San Jose. So consequently, there won't be any show. So that's why we'll open the World's Worst Hit Records on Wednesday. And so I'm sure there'll be a preview on Monday, no doubt. But we'll come up with trivia questions for you nonetheless, even though we'll have an hour and a half. It'll be an action-packed hour and a half with a new trivia question coming up and a theme. So stay tuned for that. If you want the final word tonight, now is probably the time to call in and get it. 888-876-5593. Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. What's up tonight, Chris?
Hey, Raleigh. How's it going?
I don't know anymore. How about yourself?
I'm going good. Today's my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday to your mother. Happy.
Thank you. And first off, you know Halloween is next week.
Yes, I won't be on the air.
Yeah, you want me to give you my top five favorite sci-fi horror movies?
Top five horror movie favorites? Okay, sure. I'll be curious. What are they?
I'm going old school. Number one is The Tingler. Number two is The Fly, starring Vincent Price, not the remake.
Okay.
Three is Carrie, Sissy Spacek.
Uh-huh.
Number four is... Um, I'm going old school here.
Oh, the mind is a terrible thing to waste.
You ever heard of Blood Feast? That's another one.
Ever heard of what?
Blood Feast. That's from the 60s.
Blood Feast. Okay, Blood Feast. What's number five?
Number five, I'm debating between Psycho and the Birds.
Okay.
I say Psycho.
Okay, all worthwhile choices. My favorite would be Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, especially...
Yeah, you know, some of them horror movies could creep you out with, like, them horrible sounds.
Well, the sounds aren't half as bad as some of the visions. Yes. Yes, never
like
get...
Like the fly, for example, yeah. That is terrible. That ending is terrible.
Yeah, never get
especially
it out of
your
when
mind. When he was in the web.
Yeah, and think about that. People pay money for these attractions. Oh, well.
Yeah, because it came out in 58. I feel for the people that saw it in the theater.
Yes.
I remember seeing it last year in my film club, in the film society I was in, and I cringed during that Help Me scene.
Yeah.
That sounded terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is bad. I used to go to the movies in the early 50s, like when they had the Saturday matinees with a bunch of them. And I'd go with my friend, Bucky, and we would, you know, because we were boy and girl, we'd never sit next to each other, because God forbid you do that back then. And so we'd sit a seat apart. But I'll tell you, when those horror movies started, after a while, we were practically sitting on top of each other. We were so scared. So, yes, I know.
Did you see The Exorcist? They said that was
no,
scary.
I stopped seeing any of this stuff after the mid-50s, except for Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, which I think was mid-60s. But that was the last one I saw. So no, I don't do movies for the most part. So, but that's okay.
You know, I do like ghost stories and ghost walks in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's a lot of that stuff everywhere.
Greenwood, I played Mr. Friendly is like one of the ghosts.
Oh.
On the ghost walk.
Oh, so it's an enhanced ghost walk. So we're
I'll be glad to tell you one little ghost story in my area.
All right, real quick.
Okay. You ever heard like Inn on the Square, right?
Yeah.
There's a hotel in downtown, uptown Greenwood.
Okay.
Called Inn on the Square.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposedly the most haunted place.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of stories there because it wasn't always one big building. It was two buildings with an alleyway because Greenwood was a railroad town. And
all right.
The famous ghost is Bill.
Bill.
He resides at the Fox and Hound.
Okay.
The second one is the third floor. People have awakened to see three ladies, a young girl, a middle-aged lady, and an older lady, and they would be standing at the foot of their beds, and they would disappear.
Yeah.
And also... There's another one where it's caught on camera, like this warbly figure that gets in this guy while he's checking in.
Uh-huh.
And then when he walks away, his figure stands there and it disappears.
Wow. Do they charge extra for the haunted rooms?
I do not know.
Something tells me no, they don't.
There's another incident where a television fell on the wall in the... in the bar area. And I tell you, this one creepy one, this last one is very scary, but at the time it was vacant, and it was after Lander University had its dormitories and before it reopened, and it had no electricity.
Yeah.
They was doing, like, it was a still photo, it was like paranormal thing, and yes, this is, call me crazy, but they found a picture of a body of a man and the head of a horse.
Uh-huh. Well, they should frame that and put it in the lobby. All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, I was just looking up the Inn at the Square. It's not too cheap either. So I would say when I'm looking at the rates, it would be interesting to know if in fact they come with ghosts or not. Will they be assured? Yeah. I know people would stay at the Hotel Stanley in Estes Park where The Shining was done for that, too. They'd all want to see the ghosts. All right. So, but that was the whole point. You didn't see the ghosts for the most part. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Isaac. We'll get to James. And maybe we'll get to you this hour on WGN Radio. The things come
to those who wait. But don't wait too long. Good things come to those. No, baby, 'cause you're not the right one yet. She said, good things come to those who wait. But don't wait too long. Good things come to those who wait. But don't wait too long. Because love is just a merry-go-round. Before you know it, your love will be gone.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Betty Swan. And Betty is still with us, and she had a birthday today. So Betty Swan, let's see, turned 80 today. Yeah, born in 1944 in Shreveport, but grew up in Arcadia and moved to L.A. when she was about 19, I think. And wound up singing for a while, and then worked for John Dolphin on the Money label. She stopped singing, gee, what a shock. Became a teacher in Las Vegas, retired from both. But don't wait too long, she wrote it, and it was on Money, one of John Dolphin's label. And Hank Jacobs arranged that, so a fine, fine song. Happy birthday to Betty Swan, who is still with us. I love saying that. All right, so Isaac on the South Side, welcome to WGN.
Hi, I was gonna request a song. I know you're not gonna be on for Halloween now, but my Halloween song was called Pirate Jenny by Nina Simone. She sings it.
Okay.
I think if you could play it next week, that would be great.
Yeah.
I looked up the guy that you, I mean, not the guy, the woman that you were talking about who transitioned, and I'm like, you know, I say sometimes there are women who look more like their fathers,
yeah.
And seeing him, I'm like, look, he doesn't, I mean, she doesn't look, you know.
No, she looks good.
Appropriate.
She looks
exactly.
Good. But can you imagine transitioning at 70?
That's very, very, you know, I got to give her credit. That's something that's a lot to go through.
Well, I just bought the book on Amazon, so I'll let you know the rest of the story.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. So, yes, indeed. 888-876-5593. And the waning moments are going to James on the South Side. So, James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello. How are you? How are you feeling?
Well,
thank you for taking my call.
Can't complain. And, several stories, but you got to stay away from things like the U.K. I don't care if drive-thrus close at midnight and they're not in America. All right, so...
Okay. When I finally got to read because it was so slow coming up, I said,
"Yeah, but you gave me you gave me like 12 stories. Don't do this, you know, because you know why you're doing this. You're doing this to help me, so I have less email, not more." Okay. So.
Okay. Right.
So, yes. What? So, what do you got for me? What's your favorite?
Okay, I have to say my favorite, although I got to admit, unfortunate one, was this woman who thought she could cure an infection by drinking a gallon of water.
And you know, you would think she would have known, because remember all that hoopla when a radio station in Sacramento had that contest, hold your wee for a wee, and the contestant died? And, almost lost their license and probably should have. But in any event, absolutely you can drink too much water. And it's just amazing to me. I mean, if this person was 9 years old, I would say, well, maybe. But as an adult, yeah.
Yeah, so. You would think, you should by this time at least know a few things about your body.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to be a doctor, but I at least know that there's certain things that you do not do if you want to at least have a decent amount of time on this third rock from the top.
Right, right. You've ended the night, by the way, and what I think you call that is thinning the herd. I think it's probably best she go.
Oh, yeah. I was going to request...
You got to say it in 10 seconds, because the bobble cut me off, so what
Patsy
is it?
Patsy Cline, call me on the way down.
Okay, talk to you next week. Thanks. And that is a wrap. We thank Bye. Bob for keeping us on the air. I think we're out of time already, actually. So I'll just thank John for screening the calls and you who are listening to the stream. And that's that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James, and I don't need to say it's WGN Radio because right now it's not. So on that note, Monday night, don't forget, we'll start an hour and a half late.